Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Folge 62 im Cloud Computing Report Podcast. Mein heutiger Gesprächspartner ist Scott Manchester von der Firma Microsoft. Als Windows Virtual Desktop Group Manager ist er natürlich genau der richtige Ansprechpartner, wenn es um Details zur neuen Desktop-Virtualisierungslösung aus dem Hause Microsoft geht. Das Interview führten wir auf der Eagle Disrupt 2020, die Anfang Februar in München stattfand. Scott hielt dort einen Vortrag mit dem Titel A Real World Look at Windows Virtual Desktop. Zu Beginn des Gesprächs bat ich Scott Manchester, sich kurz vorzustellen.
So I'm Scott Manchester. I'm a 20-year veteran at Microsoft, and I've been working in the virtualization space for about 8 to 10 years. Most recently delivered the new Windows Virtual Desktop Service.
Danach sprachen wir über seinen Vortrag zum Windows Virtual Desktop. Scott Manchester fasste die wichtigsten Highlights nochmals kurz zusammen.
So today was all about the partnerships that we have with IGEL and a lot of the other participants here at the event. One of the core messages I was delivering in that session this morning is how Windows Virtual Desktop is amplified through partners. When we set out to build this new solution, it was important that we built something that was extensible. We think of WVD as both a platform as well as a finished product. Knowing that there's, you know, this industry has been around for a number of decades. Sounds like you've been involved for a long time yourself. There's been a lot of innovation that's happened. You know, people have built what I call point solutions, things that supplement the capabilities of all virtualization solutions. You know, a lot of those technology providers are here today. Folks like Liquidware and Lakeside and Thinprint, Tricerat, all these companies that have built innovative solutions that help fill the gaps of these virtualization products from VMware, Citrix, Microsoft, and others. And we wanted to ensure that we provided a program where that ecosystem of partners could add value on top of the service. And then also recognizing that there are some big players in this space. Citrix and VMware have been producing products for decades. And not only do they have the hearts and minds of many customers, but there's also an ecosystem of partners that are familiar with those products, that have built tooling around those products. And we wanted those products to also be available as part of the WVD service offering. So we have a pretty extensive partner program. The part that IGEL really plugs into nicely is our hardware partner program, where we want to ensure that all endpoints can connect to the service. And we recognize that different businesses have different needs, whether it's a Windows device, a Mac, iOS, or they want to have an embedded device. I think IGEL both has some great innovation in the hardware that they produce, as well as this idea of being able to take a flash drive and put it in any device and boot it up right into a virtualization environment.
Das Konzept der Desktop-Virtualisierung ist ja nicht wirklich neu. Da stellt sich natürlich die Frage, was am WVD so besonders ist, das ihn von anderen Ansätzen und Lösungen abhebt.
Well, as with many Microsoft products, you know, we often get out to market early, and sometimes those products might address the needs of the market. Sometimes the market is involved since we released the product. We've had a, you know, general virtualization solutions in market for some time, you know, our server-based product, remote desktop services. We also briefly launched a service called Azure Remote App that allowed us to host apps on behalf of customers. Through both of those product offerings, we've learned much about how the industry is evolving and kind of where the industry is going. And WVD being kind of our third entry into the market. Okay. Often people say Microsoft gets it right on the third try, right?
Good to know.
We had a great opportunity to kind of step back, and we took a much different approach. We spent a lot of time talking with customers and talking to partners. And made sure that we had built a product that was going to really resonate well with the industry. And I think that's one of the major differences. We spent a lot of time, not in actual writing code, but in working with partners and working with customers to really understand their needs. And we felt very good about the product when we announced it a little over a year ago. We were really excited when we went live in September. And as I mentioned in my keynote presentation this morning, going live wasn't really, we changed any code between, you know, the time that it wasn't and the time that it was. It was when we hit a milestone where our customers and our partners were saying, this is meeting all of our needs and we're running this for some period of time with a certain amount of users and it's meeting all of our expectations. And that's when we hit the button saying, okay, we're now GA.
Spricht man über Desktop-Virtualisierung in einem Unternehmen, gibt es generell drei Parteien, die dabei involviert sind. Das IT-Management, die IT-Abteilung und natürlich der Endanwender. Zum Einstieg sprechen wir darüber, weshalb sich das IT-Management Gedanken machen sollte über Desktop-Virtualisierung im Allgemeinen und den Windows Virtual Desktop im Speziellen.
For IT decision makers, there's really three major advantages that virtualization brings. One is security. Okay. The second is cost effective, you know, the total cost of ownership. And the third is the reach and the customer experience when you're working outside of the normal corporate environment. So if you're a mobile worker, a part-time worker, or you have a BYO type of device. So those are the three major drivers. And WVD certainly, or I should say virtualization solutions in market, typically check the boxes for these three solutions, but we took a much closer look at those three drivers and really thought, how could we build something that even raised those values even further, like lower the price point, provided even a better usable experience for the end users and fully took advantage of the cloud.
Danach kommen wir auf die IT-Abteilung zu sprechen. Ich frage Scott Manchester, weshalb sich eine IT-Abteilung, wenn sie es bisher noch nicht getan hat, heute mit Desktop-Virtualisierung beschäftigen sollte. Und weshalb sie auf den WVD umsteigen sollte, wenn sie bereits eine Desktop-Virtualisierungsplattform im Einsatz hat.
As part of this event, we've also been running a lab. So we've done a 4-hour lab on both the event here in Munich and the event in Nashville. And we've had about 300 participants show up for that lab. Okay. And yeah. One of the questions that the proctor of those sessions asked is, raise your hand if you're familiar with PowerShell and if that's a tool you use every day. And all 300 hands went up. And that's the reality of when people are running virtualization environments at scale, they often build automation and tools that are more optimized to their workflow as opposed to using the GUIs and tools that we produce. So when we architected WVD, we sort of started at that base level, knowing that a large enterprise company is likely not going to spend a lot of time within the GUI that we create. They're going to spend time integrating in with their IT automation tools like ServiceNow and actually use our REST APIs or our PowerShell or our ARM templates and those tools. So we optimized for that as the first set of tools that we provided to the market. Now we've got a lot of feedback from, you know, customers and partners that they want to see us build a full portal. And we're actually well in development and we've shown it back at Ignite in November. We showed a pretty complete demo of our new Azure portal experience that provides that third component, the GUI. But we're already seeing such huge adoption of WVD because these IT administrators that are more familiar with these PowerShell tools and automation tools are very comfortable with what we've provided them today.
Danach erläutert Scott Manchester, wie der Endanwender vom Einsatz des WVD profitiert.
Well, again, that was one of the core investments with Windows Virtual Desktop is we took a step back and say, what would be the best experience for a user? Someone that uses Windows at home, that uses it on their laptop at work or perhaps their desktop. What's the familiarity they have and how do we make this transition from using a bare metal type of machine into using a virtual machine seamless for them? And it started with creating a Windows 10 experience to actually build a virtualization solution based off Windows 10. So our team actually built the new Windows 10 EVD, Windows 10 Enterprise for Virtual Desktop. It's a purpose-built Windows 10 operating system built for virtualization. And the nice thing about this is it's released with Windows. So we released it at the exact same time we released the same, you know, Windows 10 Enterprise, and it's effectively the same code. So if I'm an IT administrator and I'm supporting this environment, now I'm working on a single code base that's delivered at the same velocity. So same images that are on the bare metal machines, the same images on the desktops. Now that image in the cloud is the same. And for end users, it's the same Windows 10 that they're familiar with. When they go searching for something in the store or they want to invoke Cortana or they want to launch Edge, all those components they expect to be there are there, as opposed to what traditionally has been done is Windows Server has been skinned to look like full Windows Client, but it's Windows Server at the core. It's released on a different cadence of Windows Client, and there's just some components that aren't there in Windows Server. So it's starting from what we call a no-compromise experience to allow that user to work on their bare metal machine or their home machines and transition into this work environment and be just as productive and look and feel just like the Windows they're accustomed to.
Zum Abschluss wagen wir dann wieder den obligatorischen Blick in die Kristallkugel. Wir sprechen über die Entwicklung von Microsoft, vom klassischen, sehr erfolgreichen Desktop-Unternehmen, das erst mit der Berufung von Satya Nadella als CEO im Jahr 2014 die Parole Mobile First, Cloud First ausgab, die später sogar zu einer Cloud First-Strategie konzentriert wurde. Ich frage Scott Manchester, ob er sich persönlich, aber auch aus Microsoft-Perspektive vorstellen kann, dass es einen Zeitpunkt geben wird, an dem wir nur noch über Cloud-Only sprechen werden.
Well, you always need something to access the cloud, right? There's some device that you're carrying or some device in your home. We saw an interesting demo this morning from Nathan of these Bluetooth devices connected to trees.
Yeah.
These are edge devices can use services from the cloud to collect data and then provide information to help growers, farmers, whomever leverage that data. So we view that it's the cloud and the edge devices, that combination that we think is really what's industry changing and what's going to drive a lot of the innovation, both in terms of the products and the services that are hosted in the cloud. So that's part of the reason we've taken a more agnostic view to the devices that are connecting up to Azure. So the partnership with iGel is really formed out of that extension of our vision beyond just Windows endpoints into all the variety of endpoints that can connect up to these cloud services. So whether they're based on Linux, Android, iOS, Mac, Windows, all those endpoints, we want to be able to consume the services in the cloud, WBD just being another one of those services. So it's definitely a mindset change, you know, from Microsoft perspective and being kind of more open to all the various platforms and meeting customers where they're at.
Good luck for WBD and thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you. Cheers.
An dieser Stelle herzlichen Dank für Ihre Aufmerksamkeit. Weitere Informationen zum Interview finden Sie im Cloud Computing Report in der Rubrik Podcast. Wenn Sie regelmäßig über aktuelle News und Hintergrundinformationen rund um das Thema Cloud Computing informiert werden möchten, abonnieren Sie am besten unseren Newsletter. So viel für heute. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal. Ihr Werner Grohmann.